When true simplicity is gained. Wow. How would we even begin to think about rolling back the years, the decades, weeks, months, to a time when life was simple? Does anyone here remember a time when life was simple? I can't. When I went to watch the Post the other night, the most fascinating piece for me was both to look at the roles of women, because the men were in the living room talking about politics, and the women went into the parlor. This was 1971, and I'm thinking, wow, that's not that long ago. And Katharine Graham went into the parlor. The owner of the Washington Post goes into the parlor with the women to talk about the fashion page, while the men stay at the dining room table to talk about the politics. One of the scenes is after she came out of the court hearing to decide whether they could publish the Pentagon Papers or not, she walks through a sea of women, just not even commenting, and it was an unbelievable moment in the film because all the women's eyes were on her. And at the end of I sat in the theater long after it was over to look at the credits. One of the final credits was Gloria Steinem. And I realized how intentional they had been about those scenes of the women in their little shirt-waisted things running in to serve the sandwiches to the men as the men worked on organizing the Pentagon Papers. It was fascinating, just fascinating. And it made me realize how complicated our world has become. How little time there is to sit, reflect, sort out in our minds and our hearts what's most important. And I think technology is part, one, of a host of social advancements and questions that has made it so complicated to discern what is most important. And I know that the advancement of technology can sort of evoke a range of responses in us, from those who love it, appreciate what it does for human communication and understanding and medical advancements, and the list goes on and on, and those who, you know, have stopped driving cars and ride bicycles because of the environmental degradation of technology. So it's complicated to be a human being right now. It is so complicated to figure out how we should be, what we should be. And Kant, I think, was the philosopher who long ago reminded us, just because we have the capacity to do something, should we? So I got into a political conversation and debate with my daughter, who's a policy analyst and works for a nonprofit in Denver, and it was about 3D printers. I was all excited about Nike's advancement in being able to print out shoes. Totally selfishly, I'm thinking, how great, because I have sort of funny-shaped feet, and I have to pay a lot of money if I want shoes that fit. So this idea of just having my shoes printed that fit my feet exactly, no discomfort, no breaking them in, no blisters, how glorious would that be? Anybody there? Got misshapen feet? Yeah, we're right there. Well, you know, Nike is just about to do this. And my daughter, policy analysis, well, what about the factories in China that make shoes? What about all the people who depend on producing shoes for their livelihood? What about the implications of people not going into stores and buying shoes? What about all those retail jobs that will be lost? And her list went on and on and on. I was like, okay, what's for dinner? It is overwhelming sometimes to think about all the consequences. Do you need to answer that? Could you? You can't make that up, right? Technology. Here we are. I'm sorry. You're so embarrassed. Oh, I've so done that. All right. We're with you. We've all done that. You know? So 3D printers are being built for all sorts of things right now. They're learning to develop new kinds of plastics and cement that will go. I mean, they have 3D printers that are this big, then ones that are actually big enough to print a house. I mean, can you imagine? You put the design in the house and then layer after layer, and I'm just thinking of our printer, layer after layer of cement being laid down. And then, I don't know if it takes a week or a month. I don't know how long this printer lays down the cement. But you get a house. How cool would that be? But then, what happens to all the carpenters and all of the construction and the people who drive the cement trucks? So it's not easy to know how we should use technology, what we should do with it. Well, and this is not a new conversation. I mean, we can go back to the 1600s with poor Galileo in the church when he discovered all of this gravity stuff. And he discovered all the ways that the world is different. And he and Kepler were using precision instruments to map out the universe. And there was the world of science colliding with religion. And then we have the Inquisition, which brought Galileo into reality. The scientists agreed to keep his mouth shut, and the church agreed not to burn him at the stake. And so then this was when I think it sort of all started, that science and religion were going at each other about what's right, technology and science, or all the tenets of our faith. Complicated. The church confronted scientific discovery, trying to hold back progress from Darwin to Los Alamos. There have always been religious leaders asserting that we had to not only develop our technology, but our hearts and minds. And we all know that hearts and minds evolve over millennium, not weeks. So it is very hard for the human heart and the human mind to keep up with the questions that politically and socially and scientifically are placed in front of us. So I came up with this idea, what if we could print a heart? What if we actually had the capacity? And they're actually working on the technology right now to develop the plastics and the resins and the stem cells coming together so that we could print a heart for Ann Fletcher, which would take care of all her valves and her coronary artery disease and anything that's wrong with it, and would also solve all those complicated requirements of having organs rejected by our bodies and finding donors. There's not enough donors. There's a lot of good reasons to print organs. But should we? Are we going to be able to print values into that heart? Will that heart be assured of the strength and the courage to be able to stand up for what's right? To develop compassion, wisdom, the qualities that's taken the Dalai Lama a lifetime to develop, that's taken human beings generations to even think about. We have evolved. I mean, we're a lot farther along than we were in the time of Genghis Khan, right? I mean, we are not quite as violent with each other over our disagreements as we were back before the time of Christ. But it's taken us 2,000 to 3,000 years. And I don't know if we have that much time left. Our technology goes so far past our ability to make reasonable decisions. So, Parker Palmer has been holding these courageous conversations for years, trying to help people develop the kind of hearts that maybe someday we'll be able to print, that would not only secure the tenets of our democracy, but help us manage the complications of global economies, scientific technology, cross-cultural appreciation. He wrote this: "The human heart is the first home of democracy. It is where we embrace our questions. Can we be equitable? Can we be generous? Can we listen with our whole being, not just our minds? Can we offer our attention rather than our opinions? And do we have enough resolve in our hearts to act courageously, relentlessly, without giving up, ever, trusting our fellow citizens to join with us in our determined pursuit of living democracy?" That's the kind of heart I would like to be able to print. But that capacity goes so far beyond the technological developments of the right resin, doesn't it? And where do we find that balance between science and values? Right here. Right here. In all of the churches throughout history, there has been a fundamental goal of developing human hearts that had the capacity to engage in life and engage in the world around them in a way that was meaningful and purposeful. And then politics got in there. We all know about church and politics. So that I think the essence of what we were looking for in religion, meaning, purpose, the capacity to deal with the mortality of our lives, the health of our children, the fields that we labored in, has gotten lost. But the tenets are still there. And for us, the challenge has been with this progressive religion to always sustain relevance, to carry forward the history and the values that have been there since the beginning of heresy, which is what we are founded on, to a moment now when we aren't just speaking out against something, but we have something of value to offer that comes from courageous hearts. I see Unitarian Universalism struggling with that right now in terms of the tenets of our faith and all of the social justice aspects that we want to live into our faith, as well as the way we govern ourselves, the way we manage ourselves in our churches, in governance, in polity, and all those pieces. What is foremost in our faith is that we are simultaneously building relevance into the world around us and growing our hearts to make the tough decisions, to ask the difficult questions. It's about so much more than whether your shoes are comfortable or not. Here we have modern empirical science clinging to stunning discoveries and minds and computers that are just, the capacity to discover is limitless. And here we have moral resistance dealing with war, violence, destruction of the earth, abuse of bodies. How do we merge the two capacities so that human beings can actually know and do together what is right for all? In a book called The Marriage of Sense and Soul, Ken Wilber, one of my most favorite Buddhist philosopher theologian, says, "It is a strange and grotesque coexistence with value-free science and value-laden religion, deeply mistrustful of each other, aggressively attempting to colonize this very small planet. It is the clash of the titans, to be sure, yet neither seems strong enough to prevail decisively nor gracefully enough to bow out altogether. The trial of Galileo is repeated countless times, moment to moment, around the world, and it is tearing humanity apart." I think the truth is we need both. We need this space to ask the difficult questions. We need science to keep reaching forward without values into discovery. But to make good choices for the use of our technology, we need compassion. We need values. We need relationships about coexistence. We need the ability to talk with one another, not to one another, but with one another. In this brave new world, we have to be considering all the consequences of the bling that is available to us. What is the cost? What is the benefit? Who wins? Who loses? How do we define progress? Who defines progress? With the world approaching the population of 9 billion, who will be fed? Who will be clothed? Who will have a home? Who will own the water? Yes, we can clone a sheep and print a house, but at what cost? To whom? I think until we can print a heart like the one Parker Palmer suggests, maybe we should slow down. Maybe we should spend more time in silent reflection. Maybe we should have more opportunities to hold hands. I believe that when we can actually print values into those organs and assure the speed of evolution of the human conscience is as fast as our technology, then maybe we'll be ready. Maybe we'll know that it's not just enough to have the ability to do something, but to remember that a curious mind requires a courageous heart of equal measure and care. I hope that within these walls that we will always remember to embrace the marriage of science and soul, use our reason to ask the right questions, and use our hearts to come to the right answers. So may it be.